Hey, what's going on, everybody? First of all, before I get started with any new content, I got a really good response from the last podcast that I put out. And I just want to say, like, if you haven't liked, subscribed, shared any of the information, please do so. Now I always forget to kind of talk about that during the process. Also, if you want to find me, IG, Instagram is like the hub for everything. So if you go to my Instagram page, which is Raphael DeLion, so RAPHEALDALION. Again, that's RAPHEALDALION. You get connected through that. That's going to get you in touch with me personally, but also be able to share some of the other information and content that I have out there as well. So I just kind of want to get in, into this podcast now. But, you know, anytime I do one of these I call them like specials, I guess, like an epiphany. Like I try to do it from, you know, perspective where it's either provoking thought or it's educating. And, you know, with this, you know, really, I just want to kind of talk through, you know, some of the things that I've been kind of going through in my head recently. But, you know, I want to know, like, and this is a real question, and I had to honestly ask myself the same thing. Like, how selfish are you? That's a real question. Like, how selfish are you? And, you know, what I mean by that is, are you right now only concerned about your personal needs? And when I say your personal needs, I'm talking about, you know, your family, your responsibilities as well. Like, are you just trying to pay your bills? Are you trying to just accomplish your goals? Are you just trying to, put food in your family's mouths? Like, you know, are you, where is your scope right now? What are you like into? I had to ask myself that because, you know, I find, you know, just society pressures, like you kind of get sucked into a selfish state of mind. And it's unfortunate because when you get to that place, it limits the vision, like it limits your vision. And anytime you start to have that limited vision, unfortunately, it like trickles down to everything else that you do. You also start to think other people are thinking that way too, thinking so selfishly. And that's not, you know, really always the case. And a lot of times it's not the case in certain situations. And one of the things that, you know, what I realize, you know, for a lot of people that they're becoming, you know, I guess you would say entrepreneurs, right? And, you know, it's been like a hot word, you know, it's been kind of going around for the last few years or so. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. It's glory in that word, in a sense, like you've built something out of nothing. And now, you know, you're reaping a reward from it. It's like the underdog story because it goes against the grain. It's like a rebellious type of thing. It's, you know, provides status, like ability to, work for oneself and have ownership. And obviously I'm all for that. I mean, that's not necessarily what I mean, but you know, the thing that I feel is, you know, the issue, quote unquote, with new entrepreneurs or issue with entrepreneurs right now is that it's really easier than ever to be an entrepreneur and to be successful, to be, profitable as an entrepreneur. I mean, just really because with the internet, I mean, there's the internet since its existence has created over millions of millionaires. You know what I'm saying? So it's really easier than ever to become an entrepreneur. And it almost diminishes the value of what entrepreneurs were meant to provide. Because understand, like, anytime that you started a business, you know, back in the day, you know, businessmen, they filled the need that, you know, society was showing them. Like when the market, for instance, was created because of a need or problem that had not been solved. And so the role of an entrepreneur was to solve the need or fill the need, solve the problem, and then share that with the masses. You know what I mean? That they added value. And, you know, I'm getting now, like I said, just, you know, based off what I do, in addition to just conversations with, you know, a lot of people that, you know, I speak with, it's a different sense of, worth or, accreditation that, you know, entrepreneurs are giving themselves. Now it's obviously based off of how much revenue are you generating? How much money are you making? And don't get me wrong, that's cool. Obviously, as an entrepreneur, the goal is to to make money, and that's how you're able to do a lot of the things you're able to do. But the other thing I want to not lose sight of is just what value are you actually adding? Look at this. And then I just was thinking about this, really, to give an example of it all. You know, back in the early stages, and again, I'm never good with dates. So let's just say early stages, right? And, you know, talking about filling a need. So let's just assume it's winter. It's a village of people. And, you know, let's say we just learned how to make fire. So we can make fire, right? But there's no clothes. So there's nobody wearing any clothes, but we got fire. So we all around the fire. It's wintertime. We cold still, but all right, we figured out how to make fire, right? So everybody is around the campfire. One individual, let's just say one individual in this example, they see, okay, animals, you know, they don't really need to be around the fire. And it's still warm. Why is that? They're thinking, they're looking, okay, maybe the skin or the fur of the animals helps them stay warm. So, you know, they go hunt, you know, they skin the animal. And for PETA people out there, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to use an example for this. It's honestly the first thing that came to my mind. But anyways, so they, you know, they skin the animal. All right, cool. Now we got clothes. You know, he figures out, all right, I'm going to use this skin. You know, make me a coat, make me some pants. Now I'm good. I'm warm, fuzzy. You know, I've cleaned it. It doesn't stink. You know what I mean? And it's working well. Like, we're good now. He goes back to the campfire, and he shows up like, hey, you know, what you got on? What's this? And he's like, you know, oh, this that new shit. You know what I mean? So now everybody wants it because he sees, oh, I'm warm, I'm toasty, I'm, you know, I'm not really concerned about the campfire, and my butt's not red just from sitting in the snow. So everybody wants these new clothes. And he said, okay, let me show you how to do this. Let me show you how to make it. So the next person comes over. He teaches them everything that he just learned about making clothes, how to hunt the animal, how to skin the animal properly, how to clean the fur properly, how to sew the fur. Now he taught him how to make his own set of clothes. They both show up to the campfire. Now these clothes are spreading like wildfire, being able to show not only obviously, hey, we know how to make clothes and this is warm, but now it's giving accreditation to, you know, quote unquote, the product of clothes. So everybody in the village wants it now. Everybody wants clothes. And he said, okay, cool. Let me show you all how to get this done, how to make this. So, you know, again, he teaches them how to hunt the animal, how to skin the animal, how to clean the animal, and, you know, obviously how to sew everything. So they all go through the steps to learn. More importantly, though, because now there are more people that are actually learning the information, it saves a significant amount of time where before it was just one person or two people that were doing all of the work that's there. So now you can section off people, you know, in each category. Like, here's, you're going to be our hunting team to get the animals. You're going to be on our skinning team, the skinning animals. Or you're going to be on the cleaning team to make sure this don't stink. You're going to be on the sewing team to make sure everything is fitting properly. And because everybody has that specialized knowledge within that sector, now the product begins to get better. You start to see more quality with it. It's not ripping, you know, when you go into certain positions, or, you know, it's a better grade. It smells better. Like, everything about it is just better. In addition to that, it's a significant amount of time that's being saved because now you got multiple people doing, you know, the job. In addition to charging more, because there's a lot of people that's supporting the idea, supporting the product, now they can actually service more people. So they can take the entire clothing making business idea, whatever they want to call it, and go to another village. Now this other village, they see the clothes, they having the same issues, cold as hell in the winter. They all they know how to do is make fire. Oh, I see you all got, you know, what is this, clothes? You know, I want those too. Like, our whole village needs that. Can we have that? Yeah, we can make it for you, but it's going to cost you. Now they go to the village and actually says it's going to cost them. All right, what is it going to cost? We'll make this for your entire village for 100 bags of grain. Okay, it's a lot, but we can get it done if you can service the whole village. Cool, perfect. We'll make the clothing. They got the clothing. It's a great product. They provide it to them. They, in exchange, they get the 100 bags of grain. So, you know, that obviously allows everybody within the village to eat. Everybody is, you know, again, in a position now where, you know, not only are they a part of something that's special, that's, this is the only village that knows how to make clothes. This is the village that is known for making clothes. But in addition to that, everybody's adding value to the product itself. And so they feel a sense of ownership. They feel a sense of worth behind it. And so they treat it differently. And just having that, you know, that type of respect, you know, as well, what you do goes a long way within any business. But outside of that, like I said, everybody's eating based off of the idea that was created. And the difference with today's entrepreneurs, just to kind of, you know, explain what I mean and what I feel is the problem or the challenge, is that with today's entrepreneur, you know, they'll still see the same need. They'll fill the same hole in the sense that, you know, we're cold. I see animals have fur. Let's hunt it, skin it, clean it. I'm going to make these clothes for me. He shows up to the campfire. What's that? Oh, this is that new shit. Oh, okay, cool. I like that. It looks like it's warm. Can you make me one? Yeah, I'll make you one. It's going to cost you, though. You can pay me one bag of grain, and I'll make this item for you. Cool. They bring the bag of grain. You make the item. Checked all the boxes. You know, now you have two people with sets of clothes. Now you go back to the campfire, and it's two people now with sets of clothes. And everybody obviously still wants it, still feels the need. And because, you know, again, that you never taught the first person how to make it, you know, they're still in a position of doing everything on their own. And so when everybody wants it now, the product is in high demand. It's only one person to service everybody. Either they have one or two options, typically. So let's say one or two options. One being obviously the product diminishes just to get everybody demands met quickly. So they speed up the product or speed up the process of making the product and gets it out there to the market faster. But that diminishes the quality that the original sets of clothes had. So people don't want that. It's like cheap stuff that they're making. Or option two, they provide the same amount of quality, but again, because there's only one person that's supporting the idea, supporting the process, it takes a lot longer for everyone to receive their product. So that's usually what happens in business. But let's just say for this example that everything goes according to plan. Everybody, you know, it gets their clothes. Everybody pays one bag of grain. And, you know, now is, let's just assume there's 100 people in the village. Now that one entrepreneur has 100 bags of grain. Cool. Same concept, right? The only issue is that now this one individual is eating or able to eat and has enough food in abundance. But now the other members of the village, they don't have anything to show for. They just have clothes. They're consumers now. And they're looking at this one individual like he's an asshole because he has all the grain. He's overstuffed. He's fat as hell now, probably. And that's where the buck stops, if that makes sense. They can't even go to another village because it already took long as hell for this village to get their clothes. There's no, you know, team to support it to be able to make multiple people, multiple clothes for multiple people. And, you know, again, they're already happy and established because they have an abundance of grain. So why do I even need to look at having more? And that's the issue. Like, if you have something that is great, that fills a need that everyone can truly benefit from, why be selfish and just look at your own bills, your own needs, your own goals? There's an entire community, there's an entire family, there's an entire world, literally, that people can, you know, can touch and reach that the product would be beneficial for, or the idea, whatever it would be. But if you only look, for instance, at your own needs, you won't see, again, where you can fill the holes worldwide. And that's one of the things that I, you know, I'm more so am getting at. But like, you know, let's just say going back to the first example, because, you know, for me, it was evident. Like, that first example is the simplest form of group economics. This entire village learns a trade, learns a skill, creates a product, whatever it would be. They develop something that can service the entire world, clothes, right? And, you know, the entire community benefits from that. So let's take it a step further, right? In that first example, they went to another village that was cold as hell, bare ass, you know, nothing on their back, just fire. Made clothes for them. Again, village goes to another village. Hey, what's that? Oh, these are clothes. I got it from Village A. I don't feel like making names. Village A. Oh, okay, cool. They're the village that makes clothes. We want clothes too. Let's go meet with them. Same exact thing happens, same process. They get paid 100 bags of grain. They tell another person, tell another village. And so we get to a point where this village is now created, you know, obviously it named for itself with making clothes, and everybody wants a part of that. And now the entire village is again making grains in abundance, and they have a process for it. So now you can service again more people. This is the point I'm making. And it's again the simplest form of group economics, because now all these bags of grain, let's just keep it simple. Let's say 1,000 bags of grain now within this one village. They can create this is actually history. This is something that I'm not necessarily using it as an example, but the first you know, credit system that was established was between the American Indians and the European Americans. And so, you know, trading, you know, goods and services back and forth. One of the things, let's just say, going back to my example, you have 1,000 bags of grain in this one village. Another village, for whatever reason, has a short harvest. And they say, hey, we need some assistance. You know, can we borrow 100 bags of grain from you? Yeah, sure. We have an abundance. You know, we have an abundance. Here's 100 bags of grain. Next year, provide us 150 bags of grain. Okay, cool, done. We can do that. Hopefully it won't be a short harvest next year. They provide the 100 bags of grain. The next year, they're expected 150 bags of grain. So you're creating now, because you have an abundance in this one village, the ability to lend to someone else with the expectation of a return. Again, the first system of credit. That would not have been possible had it not been for the fact that this one visionary, this one entrepreneur, this one person, whatever you want to call it, taught the system and created, you know, something that was of value to, you know, the entire village for them to actually spread and show other villages or share with other villages the product itself. So again, like, you know, just thinking about how that limits people, because understand, if you now have a system where you can, you know, have a credit system where you can lend and expect in return. Because think, the form of currency that I'm using right now is grain. Obviously, we don't get paid in that anymore. We're talking about money. But if you're using that same example, people back in that day, they had to forage for grain, or forage, if that's the correct word, they had to basically go get grain, cut it down, you know, trim it, whatever they did. Honestly, it was a day's work to obviously get the grain. If they were spending the majority of their time figuring out, you know, how they were going to eat and get grain, you know, obviously prepared, that's taken away from time that they could do any other thing. But now, again, because you have a credit system that's established and where, you know, they're getting back, obviously, the currency, quote unquote, grain in return from these other villages, now it frees up everyone's time to really focus on maybe filling another need. Okay, this person figured out how to make clothes. This person, the next person within the village, because the village itself is, quote unquote, financially free from having to do mundane activities like forage for grain or forage for food. Now they can focus on, again, filling another need, which is, let's say, figuring out how to make shoes. I hope this is making sense to people, because again, it's the simplest form of group economics. Taking a large lump sum of people, pushing an idea that brings value, pushing an idea that services thousands or millions of people, and being able to have this support and backing to free the masses. Again, it's the simplest form of group economics. And so, you know, like I said, when you have people that are actually free to do, you know, obviously whatever they want to do, the creativity, it starts to, you know, occur, and where you start to see again, you know, as they talk about like the Kardashians or, you know, I don't know, the Wayans or something like that, like where you see these families begin to, like, one kind of opens the door, and then the, you know, everybody else kind of gets the trickle down effect from that. But, you know, where you see obviously people start to go into different directions or even generate more wealth for the entire family, that's how that happens. These are modern day examples of, again, what I just explained. But again, it's the simplest form of group economics. But the only way it works is if no one's selfish. So again, I ask, like, how selfish are you really? Because, you know, imagine, you know, in the same examples that I'm talking about, if, you know, you're that second entrepreneur or the new age entrepreneur, quote unquote, and you don't want to share the idea. You don't want to share the information. You want to keep all the riches for yourself. Now, not only obviously are you limiting which, you know, you personally are capable of, but for two, the entire village is consumers now. You haven't created any leaders. You haven't created any new visionaries. You haven't shown them how to free themselves from the mundane activities that's on a day-to-day basis. And it's unfortunate, because there's probably another life-changing idea or life-changing product that's within that same community. And, or even, let's take it a step further. Let's say the selfishness is within the community or within that large group of people or the that group of people. And let's say, you know, hey, I like what you're saying. You know, these clothes are nice. I'll take a pair of clothes, but, you know, I got to worry about how I'm going to feed my family. I don't have time to invest in making, you know, clothes. I don't have time to learn this trade because I got to figure out how my family's going to eat. When you're that selfish and you're only considering the needs that are right in front of you, or, you know, again, you know, the problems, I guess you would say, that are right in front of you, it limits the vision of you being able to see what the possibilities are. Imagine, you know, again, if you're, you know, the entrepreneur didn't want to share, or the group of people didn't want to take part. Again, the same exact outcome happens, meaning that the village is now consumers. The process is now broken. Or even in another scenario, because let's say the visionary or the entrepreneur or the, you know, businessman, whatever you want to call it, the creator says, I still want to share this, but nobody in the village wants to take part because, you know, they got their own things going on, or they, you know, so concerned about, you know, eating and, you know, obviously the mundane activities. I need to find other people. Let me go to this other village. Let me go to that other village. I'm going to find the people to make this work. And this is the thing that I'm trying to say, that the process is now broken. So I want you to understand what you're actually saying no to when you say no to certain things. Because if you only see, again, the problems or the obstacles that are right in front of you, you think you're only saying no to something that affects you personally. But understand, when you have a depth of vision, when you understand the things that are outside of you, and you realize that it's not about you, then you start to see what you're really saying no to. You're saying no to creating a village of leaders, a village of producers, you know, creating economical wealth for an entire community. And that's why, you know, like I said, when I talk to people, I want to understand what they're actually seeing. What can they see? I'm trying to be like Morpheus out here. Like, you want to take the red pill or the blue pill? What do you see right now? What are you willing to see? What do you want to see? What do you actually want to get from what it is that your life, you know, is here to offer? So this is what I'm saying when I talk to people, like, it's not about you. And if you can understand that, then we can work together. If you can't understand that, I don't want anything for you at the moment. Does that make sense? Let me know if I'm making sense to some people. So I ask, how selfish are you? Because what I realized in just, you know, consistently growing, consistently doing what I'm doing, it's not about you. It's really not about you. Understand that. And I'm going to have more content on this, but I'm going to just leave it at that. Again, it is not about you. So if you got anything out of this, as I always say, please like, subscribe, share. Again, if you you know, don't know where to find me, as I mentioned, Instagram is like my hub. You can go there. Again, it's Raphael DeLion, so RAPHEALDALION, and that will connect you to Facebook, YouTube. Obviously, you're on the podcast now. But thanks again. Like I said, I just wanted to kind of provoke some thought. If you have any questions, obviously, you can reach out to me on Instagram as well, too. But good looks. Appreciate it. Bye.